Welcome to the Dialogue Studio. This podcast series is hosted by the Ikeda Center for Peace, Learning, and Dialogue. In it, we explore the transformational practice of dialogue and why it is important, especially in this current moment. I'm your host, Lillian Koizumi. In these episodes, you will hear from individuals from all walks of life sharing what dialogue means to them and how they are practicing it in their daily lives. We will also introduce our founder Daisaku Ikeda's philosophy of dialogue and the various approaches and strategies we practice here at the center. For Ikeda, the more severe the challenges we face, the more crucial it is that we persist in dialogue, because dialogue has the power to break down the walls of mistrust, hatred, and division in the hearts of people everywhere. We hope you will join us in this endeavor to transform our world one dialogue at a time. Hello, everyone. I hope you are all doing well and staying healthy. Welcome back to another season of the Dialogue Studio. Thank you so much for all of your support. It's hard to believe that it's already February, maybe almost March when this episode is published. And I think we can all agree that 2025 has been off to a really intense start. As many of us know, the last 2 months have been marked with one tragic event after the other, with the heartbreaking attacks in New Orleans at the beginning of the year, and then the devastating loss in California with the wildfires, and the list goes on. My colleagues and I have been really trying to redetermine to not give in to hopelessness and despair, but rather to strengthen our conviction and commitment to peace and the teachings of our late center founder, Daisaku Ikeda. Though it's been challenging, we're so grateful for these opportunities to be in dialogue with all of you. Reflecting on the state of our world, I thought we could kick off the year with one of our What Do We Mean By episodes, starting with the timely theme of dignity. So to introduce the theme of dignity, I want to share some wisdom from our dear friend Donna Hicks, who is an associate at the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs at Harvard University. She is a leading expert in dignity and conflict resolution and has worked extensively in areas of conflict around the world for several decades. In an interview with our publications and communications specialist, Mitch Bogan, Dr. Hicks shared the following, quote, "The main thing that we all share as human beings is this profound desire to be treated well, to be treated with dignity. And it doesn't matter where human beings gather, whether the conflicts are between nations or in the workplace, in the family or in churches, or in the medical and school settings. I find that if you drill down deep enough, dignity is the last stop. There's nowhere else you can go. Dignity is at the heart of our soul. It's part of the shared human condition. Nobody wants to be mistreated, and everybody wants to be treated as if they matter," end quote. Dr. Hicks then explained that dignity is something that each and every one of us is born with. Hands down, she said, every human being is born with dignity, a sense of value and worth. You don't have to be anything to be born worthy. You are just born worthy. Respect, on the other hand, is earned, said Dr. Hicks. Dr. Hicks' insights on dignity resonates deeply with Mr. Ikeda, who wrote in his 2004 message to the Ikeda Center that, quote, "all people possess an unsurpassed and inviolable dignity," end quote. His belief was based on his practice of Buddhism, rooted in the teachings of the Lotus Sutra, which refers to dignity as one's Buddha nature. According to the Lotus Sutra, expression and manifestation of one's Buddha nature is life's most fundamental goal. In fact, one of the center's seven core convictions is respect for human dignity and reverence for the sanctity of life provide a baseline ethical standard. You can read about our other core convictions on our website, which I'll also link to in the episode description. Personally, for me, the concept of dignity is one of the hardest ones to put into practice. I understand intellectually that both myself and others are born with dignity, this inherent worth. But when I encounter someone who behaves in ways that are at complete odds with my own values and beliefs, or that violates my dignity, it's very difficult for me to then treat this person with dignity. Going back to the interview with Dr. Hicks, she said, "often we get treated badly and we forget about the dignity of the other. But through the examples of Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela, Dr. Hicks learned that no one under any circumstance can take away our dignity. They might hurt it or trample on it, but at the end of the day, we are the masters of our dignity. We also are the ones who must nurture it and care for it, and we can do the same when we see it in other people. As I reflected on what she shared, two questions came to mind. One is, when I feel hurt by someone, instead of blaming the other person, how can I heal my own wound by nurturing my own dignity? The other question is, how has that person's dignity been violated? Are they acting the way they are because they've been hurt in some way? In a Japan Times article titled "Learning About Dignity," Mr. Ikeda wrote, quote, "The foundation of a culture of human rights is established when we can develop an empathetic openness toward the sufferings of others, feeling their pain as our own, and when we can ceaselessly strive to bring out our best self, to behave at all times and in all situations in a manner that we can proudly affirm," end quote. So unpacking this theme with all of you is really inspiring me to put it into practice more in my daily life. And there are many more resources on dignity on our website, which I'll also include in our episode description. But for now, as some of you know, for those who've tuned into this series, I've been inviting Ikeda Center staff to join me in these episodes to share their understanding of the concept and how they are thinking about it in the context of our work and the world. So joining me today is Henri Carré, who is our outreach manager. So hi, Henri. Thank you so much for being here today to talk with me about this concept of dignity. And so maybe we can jump right in. I was wondering, you know, based on our work at the center, if you could share like your understanding of this concept.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lillian, for having me join you on the podcast today. Yeah, so first I want to say that we have so many resources on our website about this topic. As I was preparing for this podcast, I re-listened to your Dialogue Studio episode on the role of dignity in restoring connections with Donna Hicks. Mm. We also have write-ups from past events such as Ikeda Forum and seminars that were hours-long conversations about dignity. So there's definitely a lot to say about dignity, and I definitely won't be able to cover even a portion of it. But to sum up what I've learned from being able to participate in these conversations and read these resources here at the center is that, one, we're all inherently born with dignity, that everyone has it, it can't be taken away, and that it's necessary for peace building and for being in relation with people in our communities. So to me, that felt like our life itself has dignity, and it is really the foundation or the basis of our interactions with others. And I also learned from others and from my own personal experiences that our dignity can be violated, though not taken away, as Donna would emphasize, that we can feel hurt. And sometimes as a result, we end up hurting others based on that hurt. So that has happened to me many times. And I resonated a lot with what Donna Hicks had shared in the beginning of the Dialogue Studio episode, that there's research that our brains can't distinguish between a wound to our dignity and a physical injury. And so because of that, when someone violates our dignity, we can react as if we are harmed physically. So she also talks about, though, that in her experiences teaching about dignity, the more people gain an understanding of what dignity means and how it affects us, we start to be a little more open to letting go of the rigid beliefs that we might have built up about the situation or about the person that hurt us. And I think for me, I'll need to keep learning about dignity to like really continue to remind myself about what's happening within me in order to be able to heal and really thaw out my own rigid perspectives that sometimes get built up. And as I learn about dignity, I also appreciate like just thinking about the time that it takes to heal from certain pains and to continue to be patient with myself when things come up that I feel like are a violation to my dignity. And I can see this like in other situations, maybe not just personal, but in the world around us and the people who have experienced a lot of pain. So, yeah, it's definitely a process. My understanding is that it's a process that doesn't happen overnight to heal, you know, violations to our dignity, to build up our dignity. It's always there, but it's something that is, you know, we're constantly having to work on. So that's what I understood.
Yeah, thank you so much, Henri. And I think a lot of what you shared resonated a lot with what I shared earlier in the episode. And also, I really like what you said in terms of like our awareness of this concept, our awareness of dignity helps a lot in terms of like almost like giving us this framework to understand like what we go through in certain situations. And I think you're right. Like I don't think I ever really thought about, yeah, I guess before I started sort of engaging in like Mystery Keda's work and like our work here at the center, like dignity wasn't like a word that I would use with others or like with myself. And so I would go through these situations, right, where like I would feel hurt or I would feel in conflict with someone. And I wouldn't know why I was feeling that way. And then sort of how that then informed like the way I engage with the world, like years later even, right? So I really love what you shared. And so I think related to that, this question, the other question that I wanted to ask you today is about sort of how you mentioned earlier that you've sort of seen this happen many times in your life. And I was wondering, like concretely speaking, if you could share examples of how, just how this concept of dignity like has impacted your life and maybe like your awareness of it now, like how has that, any experiences you can share around your understanding or engagement with this concept?
Yes. So I can think of so many examples. Some of them, as I was thinking about it, they felt so small, but they have a huge impact. But in my daily life overall, I think this concept kind of informs the way that I treat myself and treat others, or how I show up for myself and others. And growing up as a Buddhist, I read a lot of Mr. Ikeda's writings and felt deeply that the way he spoke about and treated others with such compassion and respect was the way I also wanted to live my life. And I would often hear these stories where he would be able to shift the energy in a room from one that was like very tense or somber to one that was really hope-filled and joy-filled. And I, in practice though, it is such a hard thing to be able to do. And going back to my own understanding of dignity, one thing that I'm working on is to truly start with believing in my own dignity, in order to be able to see it in others. And as I was reflecting on this question, I thought about how if I feel that what I have to offer is lower or less than someone else in the room, I find myself like immediately becoming small and it's hard for me to like speak up. But when I feel equal, I feel more confident and happy to share my experiences and I can enjoy the space. And then in some instances, if I feel superior in some way, that I can make other people feel small. So for better or for worse, I'm a very highly sensitive person. So I'm like paying attention to a lot of that dynamic and even like the feelings that I feel in those spaces. And without going into too much detail, the example I thought of was many years ago, I ended up becoming a colleague with an ex-boyfriend of mine. Mm-hmm. And Lillian, you know this well.
Yes.
And it was sort of like not a great breakup. And so when I started working with him, there were many days where I felt like so small and worthless being in the same room as him. And then on other days, I was able to just pretend like I was doing fine or maybe even better. But I think it was mostly out of spite. And there were some good days, but it just felt like a really emotional roller coaster. And in that situation, it was really hard to see my own dignity and his dignity as well. But it was like I had really no choice but to like put aside my pain and like continue to work with this person towards this common goal of, you know, being able to do our work. So I thought, you know, there are so many situations where people may experience that, where they have to like work together somehow with someone that they don't get along with or that they butt heads with. But the thing that we do have control over is to focus on really affirming our own self first, so that, you know, we're not responding from a place of pain or emotion, but really just being able to like continually reaffirm our own dignity, that I have a right to be here and they also have a right to be here. And, you know, we might contribute different things, but that, you know, it's possible to get along in some ways. We don't have to be best friends. And then, yeah, so there was that situation. But sort of on the flip side of that situation, several years ago, someone very close to me accused me of like neglecting our relationship over the years. And that was very eye-opening for me because at first I couldn't really understand what that they were saying, that they were hurt because of me. Mm-hmm. because I genuinely had believed that I had done nothing wrong. But over the months that followed, I began to unpack all of the things that maybe I had said or done that caused them to feel that way. Mm. Learning more about dignity at that time helped me realize that she was responding to the way I made her feel invaluable or unworthy or not important, even though it was unintentional. And the way she responded to her hurt also ended up hurting me. Mm. And I definitely made some mistakes in how I responded in those situations. But because our relationship was really important to both of us, we like really both worked on repairing it despite like the discomfort that came out of it. Mm. And this reminded me of the quote from Mr. Ikeda in his dialogue with Ricardo Diaz-Hotlaner when he said, "Recognizing the dignity of the individual must result in mutual recognition and respect." Mm. So at the root of it, I think what, you know, she was really searching for or looking for from me was for me to be able to acknowledge her pain in order to like really feel valued and seen, which she wasn't getting from me. and then when I was able to do that, I feel like she kind of opened her ability to trust me to repair our relationship together. And I think now we are in a much better place, though. I think it's ongoing. You know, I have to really keep in mind, like, make sure I don't, you know, do my own things and forget about, you know, making sure that this person is like feels very important to my life because they are. And that in the end, I really hope that we can like continue to both see each other in our full dignity. And with that as our basis, I think our relationship has continued to really grow. I just want to share one last quote about dignity, if that's okay, from Mr. Ikeda in his 2013 peace proposal. I think it really highlighted how important respect for the dignity of life is. And he says, "If we picture a global society of peace and coexistence as an edifice, the ideals of human rights and human security are key pillars that hold it up, while the foundation on which these rest is respect for the dignity of life. If this foundation remains no more than an abstract conceptualization, the entire structure will be unstable and could collapse in the event of a severe challenge or crisis." Mm. So thank you so much, Lillian.
Wow. Thank you so much, Henri. I thank you for sharing the two examples. And I know you said in the beginning that sometimes they feel like small examples, but even as I was listening to you, I feel like both of the examples are so powerful because I think you could apply it to even like what's happening in our world right now in terms of like whether it's the division we see or just like the inability for people to like engage in dialogue across difference. And like, it all starts with like the relationships we have in our immediate environment, right? And if we aren't able to sort of believe that we can transform those relationships or to like, you know, move forward together with people who we love and are, you know, are close to us, then how can we really begin to do that with others, right? And so I think the fact that you were able to tackle like first like with your ex and then now with this friend of yours, like it sounds like it was very painful, but then you like had the courage and the wisdom and the compassion to engage with it. So I feel like if we do that, maybe our dignity muscles are strengthened and then we could remember in different situations with other people that, okay, this is what's happening and like this is what I can do to really improve the situation or to contribute positively. So I feel like there's so many lessons that we can learn from the two examples that you shared. So thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you.
Today and for unpacking this. Like, very, I feel like dignity is a hard one.
You know?
It's a hard one to understand. It's a hard one to put into practice, but it's like so fundamental, I feel, you know, based on what Mr. Ikeda shared and also so many of our scholar friends and friends of the center. So so thank you for being here and hopefully you can come back for another concept sometime down the line. So
yes, thank you so much, Lillian.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for another What Do We Mean By episode. Stay tuned for our next concept. If you have any questions or concepts that you'd like to learn about or explore, please email us at podcast@ikedacenter.org. To learn more about the Ikeda Center, you can also visit our website at ikedacenter.org or follow us on social media at Ikeda Center. Until then, happy dialoguing.